in God's house to be with God's people. Now we're going to come to Acts chapter 10. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to verse 19. Jesus asked his disciple, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" I hope that Jesus asks us also the same question. People out there, who do they think Jesus is? And the disciple replied to Jesus, "Some say you are John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Now Jesus directed that question, not about what people say. Now Jesus directed the question to the disciple, "What do you say about me?" When the question was directed to the disciple, only Peter got it right. "You are Messiah, the Son of the living God." Based on Peter's answer, Jesus said to him, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock. "And upon this rock," not upon Peter, but upon this confession, upon this revelation that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, "upon this confession, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not conquer it." Then Jesus said to him, "I will give you the key of the kingdom. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Jesus looked at Peter and said, "On this confession, I will build my church and the gate of hell will not prevail." Then he looked at Peter and said, "I'll give you the key to the kingdom." Peter used the key of the kingdom to open the door of salvation to the Jews. On the day of Pentecost, he preached a powerful message on the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We call it the gospel of Jesus Christ. He preached such a powerful message that pierced the hearts of those that heard the message. They responded with, "What shall we do?" And 3,000 Jews were saved. Acts chapter 2, the first time he used the key. The second time that Peter used the key was to open the door of salvation to the Samaritan. The Samaritan, as we know, they are half Jews. Then, followed by the conversion of the first proselyte Gentiles, the Ethiopian eunuch, who went to Jerusalem to worship because he was converted to the Jewish faith. He went there to worship. There he met Philip the evangelist, heard the gospel, believed, and baptized on the same day. Up till now, in the book of Acts, Christianity was solely converted Jews. But God wants the whole world, the whole of humanity created in His image, to hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, not just the Jews, but the whole world. So God's heart is not just the Jews, but the whole world. In fact, He is working His plan, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the four corners of the earth. When you talk about the four corners of the earth, who are they? They are mainly non-Jews, the Gentiles. How does God do it? He did first with the conversion of Saul, the great church persecutor, to become the apostle to the Gentiles. So God said to Ananias, he was unwilling to go to visit Paul and to pray for Paul. But God said to Ananias, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the nation and the children of Israel." Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Now we come to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 tells us that our God is a missionary God. He first sent his son into the world. Now he sent Peter to Cornelius. This is the first mission trip of the early church. Peter has to move out of his comfort and safe zone to uncharted territory, unfamiliar territory. And what is that territory? To the Gentiles for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because God is a missionary God, Grace City Church must be a missionary church. Say amen to that. We must share the mission heart of God locally and beyond. And we have done it with God's empowering grace. In our first year as a church, we planted 3 churches in India with Grace Assembly Singapore. We planted a church in Thailand. We support the leper colony at Konkin, Thailand. We supported many missionaries in the last 32 years. And we continue to support missionaries and even the work in Putao Nais, the orphanage. When you think about those children that we have supported, how they grew up, discipled, got a good education, and now have a good job. I want you to know that one day when we stand before God, it is not Grace City Church, it's those people in Grace City Church who has given to mission support that you will hear the word of the Master, thou good and faithful servant. We have given at least 500,000 to mission. Keep God a grab of him. That's a lot of money. You know, it's because God is a missionary God. So we must express his missionary heart locally and beyond. Extend is the launching pad, the gateway, the open door of the gospel coming to the Gentiles. With Cornelius, he is the first Gentile convert and his household. Extend is important in the early church history because this is where the early church decided to admit Gentiles to full and equal fellowship with the Jewish Christian. So when you come to Acts chapter 10, there are 2 main characters, Cornelius and Peter. Peter is a disciple and the apostle of Jesus Christ. Cornelius, he's a centurion with 100 soldiers under him. But Cornelius was not any centurion. He was a devoted man who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Cornelius was not apostle-like Gentiles. Even though he rejected the gods of the Roman Empire, the many gods that the Roman worship, he rejected them. He embraced the true and the living God that the Israelites worship. But Cornelius is not fully converted to Judaism in terms of lifestyle and circumcision. See, the Jews respect and appreciate God-fearing Gentiles like Cornelius, but they will not invite them to their house. They will not share food with them because in the eyes of the Jews, they are still Gentiles, not fully Jewish convert. But God is no respectable or person. He sees every heart that truly seek him, even with their limited knowledge or revelation of or the know-how about God. Cornelius is an example that God reward those who diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, that God reward those who seek him. Those who seek God will find God. God sent Peter to Cornelius to complete his knowledge about the true and living God. And when Cornelius prayed and worshiped God, God spoke to him in verse 3 and verse 8. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision which he saw the angel of God coming towards him. Cornelius, the angel said, Cornelius stared at him in terror. "What is it, sir?" he asked the angel. And the angel replied, "Your prayer and gifts to the poor has been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, who lives near the seashore." As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened, and he sent them to Joppa. So Cornelius prayed, and God gave him a vision. Now, for this to happen, for the Gentiles to be rich, it needs two parties. It needs Cornelius, and he needs what? Peter. So Peter was also praying and was given the same vision three times. Acts chapter 10 from verse 9 to verse 17. Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about afternoon and he was hungry. I hope you are not hungry while I'm preaching. But while a meal has been prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "No, Lord," Peter declared. "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish law has declared impure or unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." The same vision was repeated three times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven, and Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Cornelius prayed. He has a vision. And he responds immediately by saying, "The man." Peter prayed. He has the key to the kingdom, the key that he used to open the door to the Jews and the door to the Samaritan. Now God gave him a vision to use the key to open the door to the Gentiles. Instead of saying, "Yes, Lord," Peter hesitated and he said, "No, Lord." These two words, "No, Lord," have stopped opportunity, miracles, and breakthrough. Peter thought he knew God. He knew better than God. But finally, he obeyed. How about you? How about you? Pastor Aaron has said, be open to what God may want to lead you. Be open to the prompting and the voice of God, because you never know what He may say to you or want you to do. Be open. Cornelius responded immediately. Peter hesitated. Last Sunday, Pastor Kara called us to tell our conversion story. The title of my sermon on Acts 10 is "Grow My Family." God wants us to tell our conversion story, how we were saved, what Jesus meant to us, so that we can grow His family. And it's not just reaching out to the Jews, but the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants more disciples, more family members, and more children of God. And like Peter, we must have this three mindset to grow God's family. The first mindset is inclusive, not exclusive. Reaching the Gentiles was not God's plan B or plan C. Reaching the Gentiles was not a last-minute plan because the Jews rejected him. Reaching the Gentiles is always in the plan of God when He called Abraham to leave his country, relatives, and father family with a promise to Abraham. Promise in him, promise for him, and the promise of blessing through him. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. All the family on the earth will be blessed through you. God called Abraham 4,000 years before Christ died on the cross. And the promise to Abraham includes all of humanity. Christ came to this world not just to die for the Jews, but for all of humanity created in His image. Our God is an inclusive God. He has the whole world in His sight. God is an inclusive God. Say amen to it. But His ways are not inclusive. His ways are exclusive. That's when the church thinks, because God is inclusive, means everything and anything go. No, God is inclusive. He wants the whole world to come to know Him. But His way, God's way, is exclusive. Only one way. Only one door. Only one gate. Only one name to be saved. And that name is Jesus. Through the calling of Abraham, one man of faith and his family became a nation, Israel. And God created the people of Israel, and His purpose is very clear, stated in Genesis 22, verse 18. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. The Messiah, the Savior of the world, will be born from a tribe of Israel. God's missionary intent for Israel is that they will reach all the nation through them. Isaiah 42, verse 6. I am God. I call you to live right and well. I have taken responsibility for you, kept you safe. I have set you among my people to bind them to you and provide you as what? As a lighthouse to the nation. That was always God's intent. God intended Israel to be a community of people, different in belief, in lifestyle, in food, in worship, to the surrounding nation. The church must be different from the world. Say amen to that. If the church is the same with the world, how are we going to influence the world? So God set Israel apart so they are different, in order that God will be able to reveal Himself through Israel, and that through Israel, He will be able to draw those surrounding nations to Himself. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles. The word Gentiles means nation. Gentiles means nation. And the nation shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. That was always God's intention. Through Abraham, Israel, through Israel, the whole world. But sadly, the nation of Israel failed to understand their mission, and they become what? Self-centered and prideful. They saw the blessing of God to be exclusively for themselves. I am blessed for myself. That's how Israel saw it. Then to see blessing meant to be given to the world, to them. So Israel became so exclusive. We are God's special people, special treasure, available only to a few selected people. So special that others not like them were kept out. The Samaritan were kept out. Zacchaeus was kept out. Even Jesus was rejected and kept out. The Gentiles were kept out. They all did not meet their standard or fix their mold. Up to Acts chapter 9, the church has become exclusive. The church were mainly Jews. Let me tell you, church is not and never exclusive. It is inclusive. Only club is exclusive. You cannot go to any exclusive golf club and play. You have to be a member. only club is exclusive. Here is where we get it wrong. Here's when the church gets it wrong. Inclusive does not mean anything and everything goes. Sin is sin. Wrong is wrong. Sexuality and marriage are male and female. No compromise on belief, conviction, and value in inclusiveness. Say amen to that. Inclusive means we must be open to others, even they are not like us or fit our mold. Why? Because we are light and salt of influence. Like Jesus, he spoke to the woman at the well. She's an outcast, she is an adulteress. But Jesus spoke to her. Why? The sole purpose to lead her to become a true worshiper of God. So, we allow and we are open to others. Why? So that we can become salt and light to influence them, not become like them. Say amen. Gandhi, when he was a student in England, he took the Bible and he read the four Gospels. And he was interested in the four Gospels when he read about the life of Jesus Christ. And he seriously think of becoming a Christian convert, Gandhi. Because he sees that Christianity offers a real solution to the social rank system that is dividing the people of India. One Sunday, he went to the nearby church to attend service. He decided to see the minister and ask for instruction in the way of salvation and enlightenment in other doctrine. But when he entered the sanctuary, the usher refused to give him a seat and suggested that he goes and worship with his own people. This is written in Gandhi's autobiography, his own life. He left and never came back. And he said that if Christian has social rank differences also, he said to himself, I must as well remain a Hindu. What a shame. People have to learn the inclusiveness of God for all humanity created in his image. In verse 34 and 35, I see very clear that God showed no favoritism, nor a respectable person, no partiality. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. God desires us to seek to include others rather than exclude them. Christian love is expressed by an open, warm, embracing attitude towards others. Others need to hear and believe the gospel. When you bring and include others to faith, you grow God's family. Let's get connected with others and not isolate from them. Let's open our hearts and reach out to others. May God help us never to forget the 4,000 years promised to Abraham. By you and your descendant, all the nation of the earth will be blessed. God is inclusive, not exclusive. So must we be. The second mindset, if you want to grow God's family, the second mindset is acceptance, not prejudice. Peter and Cornelius live only 30 miles apart. 30 miles is a day and a half journey. Peter in Joppa and Cornelius in Caesarea. Cornelius was a wealthy, a Gentile, a military man. Peter, a Jewish fisherman, turned to become a preacher of God. They were two different plans, two different people, but God's plan included both of them, Peter and Cornelius, Jews and Gentiles. The barrier that kept them apart, the barrier was not distance or status. It was religion, it was racial, it was social, and it was circumcision that physically distinct their differences. The Jews hate the Gentiles and did everything they could to keep themselves separate from them. Even in the temple in Jerusalem, it reflects that separation. A barrier was built in the temple to keep the Gentiles out. This barrier is called the courts of the Gentiles. It's the most outer court of the temple where Gentiles and non-Jews are permitted to be there. They cannot go any further than there. It is also the marketplace where money changers and sacrifice for the temple were sold. Twice Jesus cleansed the court of the Gentiles and he said this, "My house shall be a house of prayer." He did not stop there. He said, "Shall be a house of prayer for all nations," because God's plan is always not just the Jews, but all nations. That means everyone that is in the world. So the barrier that Peter has, the barrier is called the wall of prejudice. This is what dictionaries say about being prejudiced. It means having a preconceived opinion. Peter had deep prejudice about the Gentiles. His prejudice is that they are unclean, impure, different from us. God has to deal with Peter's prejudice with a vision of unclean and common animals made clean by God. And here God said to Peter, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." Verse 15. Unfortunately, if you look in church history, unfortunately, historical prejudice, enmity, and division was carried over to the Christian community. In churches like the one in Ephesus, there were Jewish and Gentile converts. They did not always get along. So, we all have, sitting here this morning, we have to be careful, for easily we can fall into the trap of prejudice. Is there such a word that is? I'm not like that Bill, who was that minister who always make up words on the way. I check to make sure there is such a word. Don't fall into the trap of prejudice. Some of the prejudices we have can be so rooted, so strongly rooted in our life from our upbringing that it's difficult to let go. When we judge someone because of how they dress, we are a prejudice. When we look at the way people think, the way people talk, and because they act different from us, and we see them from basing on our prepacks, on our pre-existing belief and background, then we are prejudiced. Prejudice go against the plan of God to bring all people to a relationship with God. It is important for us to look at our life and see what prejudice we have been holding on to so that we can learn to let them go. Paul's message is this. Jesus break down the dividing wall of hostility. Ephesians 2:17. Jesus removed all barriers. In Christ, there is no war, no classes, no caste, no race, no distinction of any sort. Everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ, whether Jews or Gentiles, male or female, have or have not, in Christ, they are together, brought together in a community. And that community is the family of God. We must never allow prejudice to stop us from accepting and loving others. Your perceived opinion of "I think so, it must be so." And we all fall into that trap. is not from God, and such thought must be brought under the obedience of Christ. In 1995, in the Leadership magazine, they asked three pastors in the U.S. Their vision for their church was for many nations, one church. And they asked, how do you do it? How do you do it? How do Great City Church become a church where we can all worship together as one family of God, as one people of God, regardless of color, regardless of race, regardless of our background, but we are all saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? So they ask, how do you do it? And the answer is this: avoid prejudice and preconceived ideas. They are the greatest obstacle to unity. And he said this: if we as a church cannot love one another and live with one another in the church, where else will our society learn to reconcile? I'm telling you, friends, the church, not only in Australia, the church in the whole world is always praying for unity, unity, and unity. I'm telling you, in Jesus Christ, the wall has been broken. It's not just the prayer of unity. It's putting the leg to unity, practicing what Jesus already done on the cross. So God dealt with Peter's default mindset with acceptance, not prejudice. Peter obeyed God and led the man sent by Cornelius to stay with him under the same roof, not different roof, under the same roof. Not Peter stay in the house, you stay outside. He led them in the same room. He went with them and he entered Cornelius' house. When Peter did that, God break his heart on prejudice, because Peter broke a whole list of Jewish rule on what not to do with Gentiles. He broke every one of them. And Peter's first word to Cornelius and his household was, you know, it's against our law for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile house like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. God break the wall of Peter's heart with acceptance, not prejudice. Then God pour his Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, on the Gentiles believer in verse 44 and verse 45. Just like he did, he poured his Holy Spirit on the Jewish believer. There is only one God, one faith. And God poured his Holy Spirit. There is no place for prejudice in the church. Say amen. We are all washed with the same blood, saved by the same Lamb, loved by the same God, and served the same law. I encourage you, eagerly seek all people by telling your conversion story. Look at them from God's perspective. Love them for the gospel's sake, because God wants to grow his family through us. We cannot afford to war ourselves with prejudice. Doing so is to cancel what Christ already did on the cross. He broke the barrier. He bring down the wall. Do not build it again. The third mindset that we need to have if we want to grow God's family. The third mindset is new wineskin, not old wineskin. Somehow, we tend to hold on to the old rather than release the old and possess the new. We love to stick to the old ways of thinking, the old ways of doing things, the old habit. The old become our comfort zone, our security, and our know-how. But the new always demand one word. The new always demand one word, and the word is called change. Jesus said, new wine must be poured into new wineskin. When Jesus referred to this wineskin, he is talking about change. Change. The religious leader in Jesus' time was stuck in the old religious order, the old covenant of law, the old way of doing things, the old wineskin. And when Jesus demanded change to the new wineskin, the new covenant of grace, they rejected and fought against him. God is doing a new thing, a new covenant of grace that includes both Jews and Gentiles. And to do that, it must be placed in the new wineskin. Peter had a remarkable encounter. God gave him a vision. Three times he saw the vision. He went to Cornelius' house. He preached, and the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles. What a remarkable events that Peter had. What a remarkable. He used the key given to him to open the door for the first Gentiles convert, Cornelius and his household. We wish with what has happened that Peter will be completely changed to the new wine skin. Later, we find that Peter went back to the old wineskin, the old habit, and the old attitude. Together with the other Jewish believer, they want the new converted Gentiles to keep the old wineskin with circumcision and obeying the law. You thought, let me tell you, mindset is not concrete. Mindset needs to be renewed. Not by the things of the world. Renewed by what? The Word of God. Mindset has to be renewed. Mindset has to be focused on what the Bible says and keep on focusing and obeying what the Bible says. Peter has such a great encounter. You thought that he would say, this is the new wineskin. Gentiles and Jews together, because this is God's plan since the book of Genesis. Peter has such a great encounter. He went back to the old wineskin. Why? Pressure is a great way to bring us to the old. Being accepted by others, being loved and liked by others, is very easy to bring us back to the old. Look at what Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, spoke against such ruling. He said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to verse 14, when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. And when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish custom? See, Peter did not understand for the new. Because of him, others even joined. Barnabas even joined. The power of influence. This is the power of wrong influence. God commands us to embrace the new with new wineskin, and not the old with new wineskin. Because he's doing something new through us, and we must flow with him and not hinder or obstruct him. GCC, Great City Church, God wants to grow his family with new disciples, new family members, and new children of God through us as we share our conversion story. But we must be inclusive, not exclusive. Look at each other No matter what background, what color, we are children of God, created in His image. As Jesus has accepted us as we are, we must accept each other as we are. Say amen to that. And I tell you, the church people that love one another is a powerful testimony and a powerful force to the world out there. Regardless of people having or having not, regardless of their education, their status, or their background, as long as we come to the church, we are children of God. We are in the same classroom. There is only one class in this church. That is the class of Jesus Christ. No amen?
Amen.
I thought I got it wrong. So, we must be inclusive, not exclusive. Be accepting and not prejudiced. And embrace the new wine skin and not the old wine skin of doing things. Here is where my heart is. After all these years being a pastor, when you see new people visiting Grace City Church, new people, reach out to them, welcome them and befriend them, accept them as they can and may become part of the Grace City Church family. Because God wants to grow His family and He wants to grow it through you. Let us pray. He called us to be part of His plan from the beginning of Genesis. The nation, all of humanity created in His image. Every single one. He is not willing that any should perish, but through His patience and long-suffering that people will come to repentance. God wants to grow His family through you as you tell your conversion story. But to do that, you must be inclusive and not exclusive. You must not be prejudiced, but be accepting. And you must embrace the new wineskin. You are God's tools and God's answer to reach humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are given keys to open the door that others may come into salvation. And I encourage you, do not become like the Jews. They become exclusive. We are special people. All the blessing of God is for us. It stays with us. But they forgot the blessing of God was to them and through them. God wants to use every one of us sitting here this morning. I pray, if there's anything you ever need to do, is remove any prejudice from your heart. Let me pass it to Pastor Aaron.
Thank you, Pastor Stewart. To be inclusive as a church of God, to be accepting and not to be given to prejudice, new wineskins and not old wineskins. I wonder where are we on this today? What is the Lord saying to you, to each of us this morning in this regard? Have we opened up our hearts and have we reached out to others? You know, I was just thinking that even as we are exhorted by Pastor Kara, by Pastor Stewart this morning to share our conversion stories, we are also meant to share the stories, the testimonies that God has done in our lives, that how God has revealed Himself to us, how God has shown His glory to us. We are supposed to share these testimonies and encourage each other. But have we at times decided to hold that back in and decided not to share for whatever reasons that we might have? We may think that, oh, maybe I'm shy about it. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they will not understand. Or have we actually allowed a very subtle form of prejudice become the premise for why we hold back our stories or why we hold back our sharing? And if that's the case, I'd like us to take some time to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Because these things that you have given to me, I meant to share. Just as how the gospel is given to me and entrusted to me, is shared with me, and I'm living in the joys and in the blessing of it, I meant to share the gospel. Forgive me for holding these back. The testimonies of your wonders, the wondrous things that you have done in my life, I meant to share, but Lord, forgive me that I have not shared it with others. I've held it back for myself. Or perhaps this morning we might be thinking, you know, of somebody who might just walk into the church or walk into our powerhouse groups, our cell groups, and they don't look the same like how we look, or dress the same, or speak in the same way, the way that we do. And immediately it forms an impression within us, and we alter our responses, or we alter the way we deal with that person. I remember that in my previous church, there was a guy who came in and he was dressed exactly like a rocker, a rock band. He belonged to a rock band. Long hair, dreadlocks, he had spikes, you know, on his hands and on his jacket. Every part of his jacket had metal spikes on it. And everyone walked in, and the best part was this: he was meant to be our new drummer in the church. Everyone was like, huh? Can this guy, he can play the drum, but can he play the drum for the Lord? Who was he playing the drum for, you know, previously? But you know what was the remarkable thing? With that step of faith, right, the Lord touched him. He met the Lord. And he transformed a full turn, a full complete turn. And he gave his life fully to the Lord, serving Him as a musician, all the way to the day that he passed on. His life was transformed because there were people who decided that they should not judge him but reach out to him in love. How about us today? God has blessed us, Grace City Church, and one of the unique traits that we have in Grace City Church is that we are a multi-ethnic congregation. If you were to look all around, you will see God has brought the nations into this church. He has called us to reach out to the nations, and the Lord has already brought the nations into our midst. This is a blessing. How could we do more? And the third thing is about new wineskins. While Jesus was talking about the old religious system and the old religious laws in respect to the new covenant that He will bring or that He has brought, God is still doing new things in our midst today. And even in this season, He will bring about new things. New expressions, same principles, but new expressions. Are we ready to receive what God, and to walk with Him and to flow with Him in those new expressions? COVID-19 was just a precursor. to the way we will do life as a church? Are we going to learn from it? Or are we going to say, oh, I can't wait to get back to the old, to the old norm? Are we ready for the things that God will bring to into our lives and in our midst? We know this, right? When God says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it conceived into the hearts of men what the Lord has prepared for those who love Him. We who love the Lord, are we ready to see God doing new things? And as we pray for new wine, are we ready as new wineskins as well? So I'd like us to just take a bit of time to reflect on these right now. And what the Lord is prompting you, please respond to Him at this moment. Because it is His word for you. And collectively, the Lord will lead us. Come, let's respond to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Jesus. Heavenly Father, even this morning as a church, Lord, we come before You, Lord, in all humility. And we say, Lord, would You please forgive us, Lord, if there were times, there were those moments where we have been just exclusive and not inclusive, Lord. That, Lord, that we have not welcomed others as You have brought them into our midst, but we have not welcomed them as we should. Forgive us for those times that we have held back instead of giving out. Forgive us, Lord, we pray, for those times that we have allowed the wall of prejudice to be built up within us. The very wall that you broke down in Christ Jesus. Lord, forgive us, O Lord, for judging others through their outward experiences and the way that they speak. But Lord, not even discerning beyond into the hearts. We ask and pray, Father, this morning, would You just fill us, Lord, and grant us more of Your love and Your compassion. Let our hearts be overflowing and be overwhelmed by Your love. Give us a fresh encounter with Your love, so that, Lord, in everything that we do, it will flow out of the wellsprings of Your love in our hearts. That in everything that we do, the way we look at others, the way we look at the world, it will be through Your eyes and Your heart of compassion. Father, we ask and pray that You will help us also, Lord, to be new, to have new wineskins. For the things that You want to do in us and through us, even in the days ahead, in the seasons ahead. Lord, individually and as a church, O Father, Lord, we want to be able to flow with You. We want to be, O Lord, even effective as Your witnesses, as Your salt and Your light. Lord, even as we see things around us are just changing in such a dramatic rate, Lord, we want to be on track with You. So, Lord, we pray, would You do this amongst us, and would You strip away from us everything that is not of You, O Lord. Would You help us to shed away everything else that is not of You, that, Lord, that we may flow with You, Lord, even in unison and in freedom, O Lord, and that, Lord, that we will do the things that are on Your heart, individually and as a church. So, Lord, we submit ourselves to You this morning, and this morning we reconsecrate ourselves to You, spirit, soul, and body as a church. We bless You, Lord, and we ask these in Jesus' name right now. Amen. Shall we all stand and respond to the Lord with this worship song?